Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Praise the Lord. Tonight, beloved saints, we're so excited. Did you realize we are very close to the biblical feast of Hanukkah? And tonight we're going to be sharing with you the supernatural secrets of a personal prophetic Hanukkah just for you. Hallelujah. How many of you want to know that anointing? Tonight we're going to be speaking to you about victory in your strongest fight of your darkest night. Say this with me. Tonight I'm receiving victory of my strongest fight in my darkest night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, beloved saints, I want to give you just a little bit of background about the biblical feast of Hanukkah. Throughout the scriptures, beloved saints, we see that the text teaches us that wherever we see the darkest night, the darkest time of our life, and where we experience the strongest fight, I want you to understand God will always bring deliverance when we walk with Him. And tonight, when we look at the supernatural secrets of Hanukkah, which is the biblical feast of dedication, there are multiple miracles that have been revealed in the biblical feast of Hanukkah. But first, let's look at what we call the etymology of the word. Okay, say it with me. Etymology of the word. Okay, excellent. The etymology is actually a form of biblical exegesis where we look at words. And usually we study word studies in this ministry quite a bit when we're teaching the Word of God. But our usual format of sharing in the context of word studies is that we take a Hebrew word and we look at the three-letter root, because the Hebrew language is a language of consonants and it is also a language of concepts. So in order to understand the concept of a word, we usually take that three-letter root and we look at the three-letter root of the word, and the three-letter root that has another word with the same root shows us the concept, okay? And just within it, we see what word also has that three-letter root. And many words that are related to other words show us that concept, because Hebrew is also a language of concepts. But today we're looking at the word studies and the biblical exegesis that's to be employed to the word Hanukkah. We're going to split it in two by using the etymology of the word. Etymology means we're going to split it between prefix and suffix. So today, in order to extract the supernatural meaning of this word, Hanukkah, how many of you want to know the secret personal prophetic meaning of Hanukkah just for you? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's just for you. Amen. So the first supernatural secret that we want to share with you hidden in this word, let's take the prefix first. The prefix of the word Hanukkah is Hanu. Say it with me, Hanu. And Hanu, beloved saints, in a literal sense of scripture in Hebrew, literally means they rested. Put your hands up and say, I'm getting ready to rest from the battle. Say it with me. Say, I'm resting from the battle. And during Hanukkah, I'm receiving the anointing to rest from the battle. Come on, saints, give God the praise and give God the glory. So, Hanu, literally, in a literal sense of scripture, means they rested. Then we see that What do we rest from? I want you to understand the context is going to convey that we rest from the long fight of your darkest night. God is going to bring you deliverance today. Hallelujah. In the supernatural secrets of this biblical feast of Hanukkah. That means, what do we rest from? We rest from the test. Put your hands up right now and say, I'm getting ready to rest after my test. In the name of Jesus, God is bringing me into supernatural rest and victory. Let's look at the Word of God just for a moment so we can understand this rest. Going to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 14. Let's look at this just for a moment. I want you to see it. It's not in my notes, but I want to give it to you because the Holy Spirit said to give it. It shows you about the kind of rest that God is promising you during Hanukkah. I don't know about you, but if you've been in a battle, it's time for the rest. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord says. In verse 3 of the book of Isaiah and the 14th chapter and verse 3. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will give you rest from your sorrow. Has there been any people here that have been going through such an ordeal that your emotions are completely worn out? You see, there's all kinds of battle. There's physical battle. There's strength that comes out of your body because you're laboring a lot. Maybe some of you have been working 2 jobs. Some of you might be working 3 jobs. Some of you might have had put upon you in the last few months an extreme amount of extra labor. Maybe someone in your family is ill, or you've been doing things to take care of loved ones, and you're very exhausted. That is definitely something you need rest from. But the scripture is not just referring to physical rest. There are some of you that are emotionally completely emptied out. There's nothing left. Some of you have been through an ordeal emotionally. You've been traumatized, or you went through a shock, something you weren't expecting. Some of you right now in this room have been through such a storm, and you ask the Lord, Lord God, how am I going to make it? I don't think I can deal with anything anymore, because you feel completely frazzled. You feel like you're at an end. But God is saying during Hanukkah, during this time, he's going to bring you rest, hallelujah, and give you rest from the battle, from the emotional strain, from all that you've been through. Somebody ought to give God the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. So literally, Hanu, they rested, and Ka on the 25th. Say, they rested on the 25th. Now, the 25th is extremely spiritually significant. Why? Because Hanukkah is the 25th day of the 9th month. And so today, beloved saints, as we look at the I want to share with you the supernatural secrets of Hanukkah today. I'm going to share with you 5 secrets of Hanukkah that I believe God is revealing in your life at this moment. You see, a lot of people, when we think of Hanukkah, we know it's the festival of lights, but what does that really mean to us? How does that apply to my life? First of all, I'm going to show you that God, during this season, is promising you the first supernatural secret of Hanukkah, is God is promising you deliverance in your darkness. Somebody ought to say, God's getting ready to bring me deliverance in any darkness of my life. Hallelujah. He's promising you treasures out of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. And somebody ought to praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look for a moment at one of the most beautiful scriptures in the Word of God found in Isaiah chapter 42. In Isaiah chapter 42, God is bringing a promise, hallelujah, that he is going to turn your darkness to light. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's getting ready. Hallelujah. To turn my darkness to light. Deliverance out of the darkness. Say it with me. Deliverance out of the darkness. Let's look at the word of God right now and see this promise of Hanukkah for you and for me. Looking at Isaiah 42, verse 16. The Bible says, and I will bring the blind by a way they knew not, and I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. Hallelujah. And I will make the crooked way straight. These things will I do unto them, and I will not forsake them. Say this with me. God is getting ready to make the darkness light before me. Oh, praise God. Now, let me tell you something. All throughout the New Testament scriptures, we see Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And I want you to understand the light of the world is identified during Hanukkah. And we see in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners out of the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. God wants you to know that if you've been in any kind of a prison, whether it's a prison of sickness, whether it's an emotional prison, whether it is a prison of some sort of restriction, God is getting ready to bring you out of that prison. And somebody ought to praise the Lord. Somebody should shout the victory. Hallelujah. Let's look and see just for a moment what deliverance out of the darkness actually looks like. The Bible tells us in Psalm 18, verse 28, for you will light my candle, and Lord, you will enlighten my darkness. I want you to understand something about the concept of darkness in Hebrew. The concept of darkness is not just the absence of light. Darkness can mean chaos. Darkness can mean confusion. Darkness can mean something that is lurking in your life or some type of a demonic attack. And so we see this is why during this month of Kislev, that is coming up upon us, we need to understand that the days are very short and the nights are very long. It's prophetic, but I want you to know that every single night the moon rises. That means God gives us light in our darkness. Somebody ought to praise God. God is making a way where there is no way. Here is a prophetic rhema for someone today that is in this room that needs to understand the power of a personal Hanukkah. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is telling us something that pertains to someone who needs to be justified. Someone that the enemy is raising up a case against. Someone who's been falsely accused. Someone who says, Lord, I need some vindication. Is there anybody here that says, Lord, I need you to plead my case in the heavens? Is there anybody here who says, I need to be vindicated? Oh, somebody ought to say, the enemy's not getting away with it. Come on. The enemy's not getting away with the false accusations against you. Somebody ought to shout the victory. I said, the enemy's not getting away with it. The devil is a liar. Whatever they said against you, God is going to vindicate you. Notice what the word says. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Somebody ought to say, my intentions are going to be revealed. The enemy is not getting away with those false accusations. Come on, somebody ought to shout the victory. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. And what is hidden in the dark shall be known. That means God is making a covenant with you this Hanukkah. God is making a covenant with you that if you have been misunderstood, or if there is something in a courtroom that needs to be revealed, there is a case before somebody in this room, God's going to make it known. God's going to vindicate you. God's not going to allow the enemy to get away with lies. I hope you're hearing me. God told me today, this is for someone that's in this audience. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So we understand this first supernatural secret of Hanukkah is deliverance out of the darkness. I want us to see the second supernatural secret of Hanukkah today that God is bringing to many of you, that God is promising us, because Hanukkah is the Feast of Lights and Jesus is the light of the world. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah 60. And that second supernatural secret is that the Lord is going to bring you the light of consolation instead of desolation. Say this with me. The Lord is going to bring me consolation instead of my desolation. You see, light has multiple meanings in Hebrew, and light has attributes. One of the attributes of light throughout the scripture is victory. Somebody ought to say, victory is mine. Oh, hallelujah. We see that in the book of Esther, there was vindication and exaltation. I hope you hear me. The Bible says in Esther chapter 8, verse 16, when everything began to turn around, when the Jews were up for genocide, I hope you hear me, and Haman wrote the death decree against the Jews, the Bible says the Jews had light and honor. I want you to know, God began to turn the thing around, and many people in Shushan began to become Jews. Are you hearing this? Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Yes. We're asking the brethren to get that pulpit and bring the pulpit down. Oh, glory to God. Come on, give God the praise and give God the glory. Oh, precious Jesus. Come on. Oh, precious Jesus, pray in the spirit. I feel victory in here tonight. I feel breakthrough in this house tonight. I feel deliverance for some people in this house tonight. The devil, oh my goodness, some of you had a hard time getting here because the devil knew when you got here, your life was going to turn around. You were going to hear a prophetic rhema tonight that is going to set your life on fire. Hallelujah, with the glory of God. We're looking at this second supernatural secret of the Feast of Hanukkah. And the second supernatural secret is the light of consolation in the midst of desolation. We find this promise given to Jerusalem, and we are spiritual Jerusalem. We find this promise being given in a time of great desolation and loss, a time of shocking trauma. The city of Jerusalem was emptied out, and all of the inhabitants were taken into exile. But the prophet Isaiah already gave a promise before the peril. Say this with me. Before my peril, God already has a promise for me. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah 60, verse 1. The Bible says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Tell your neighbor, say, my light, my rhema, my personal word, my deliverance, my victory. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. My light has come. Somebody should say, my light has come. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 58, verse 8 says, your light. Isaiah 58, verse 10 says, your light. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, your light. Isaiah 60 verse 3 says, your light. Say this with me. The Lord has given me my own light. The light from his word. The light of deliverance. The light of victory. The light of the resurrection. The light of vindication. The light, hallelujah, that shines in the darkness. Oh, glory to God. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, I want you to see a promise that God is making to you as an individual tonight. Because that glory that is risen upon you, and the Bible says, watch this, the last line of verse 2. Verse 2 says, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory is going to be seen on you. Say this with me, the glory is going to be seen on me. Somebody should shout the victory. Hallelujah. The glory is going to be seen on you. Say this with me. The glory is all over my family. The glory is all over my house. The glory is going to be seen on me. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say, I'm walking in the glory. My light has come. Oh, glory to God. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, wonderful Jesus. We praise you and we bless you, Lord. Now, watch this promise. Praise God. Oh, precious Jesus. God is promising, first of all, there is a certain way to access that light. It's the kind of light that rises in obscurity, just like that. It comes so fast. Breakthrough comes instantly. Turn to your neighbor and say, why go around the same mountain year after year? Say, I need an immediate breakthrough. I need an express miracle. Okay, do you want to know how? Okay, the Bible is telling us, beloved saints, if we look at the word of God in Isaiah 58, Isaiah 58 verse 8 is the secret. But the Lord says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? Is it not to loose the bands of wickedness and undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke. Say a deliverance ministry. Now, if you will allow me to speak, I want to speak for a moment about biblical social justice. Okay, because now they've changed the title of social justice, and they made social justice some kind of a thing that some political entity of everybody's rights and so on. I won't go further. Okay, that is not biblical social justice. Okay, biblical social justice is definitely a very strong principle in the word of God. And it's so important to God that when we give to others in the form of the word for charity would be tzedakah. Say it with me. Tzedakah. Tzedakah means righteousness. And I'm going to execute righteousness, which is a form of social justice, by giving to others. And I want to explain to you that because the biblical Hebrew version of social justice and giving to the poor has to do with liberating them when you give to them. See, there's an action of deliverance that comes to someone who doesn't have anything, that when you give to that person, you are liberating them through your giving. Okay, I know we all want to just bind Satan. and lay hands on people. But there's another form of deliverance also. There is a form of deliverance through giving to the poor that delivers them out of their bondage, that delivers them out of their yoke, that delivers them out of their stronghold, that delivers them out of years of tears, that delivers them out of the bondage they're living in. Mama Rebecca, stand up right now. Oh my God in heaven, stand here, come over here. I bind every spirit that's not of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, Mama Rebecca, you have been liberating the poorest of the poor. And God is going to open the doors for you. There is no way. I break and bind. Come on, pray for this woman of God. Pray for this woman of God right now. Pray for her. Oh, Jesus. Come on, pray right now in the spirit. Pray in the spirit for Mama Rebecca. This very moment in Jesus' mighty name, no weapon formed against her is going to prosper. And Lord, this mighty woman of God who is taking care of abandoned mothers and abandoned children, God, in the name of Jesus, open every door for her. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. She has broken yokes. She has set the oppressed free. God, in the name of Jesus, vindicate her case. Come on. Fight for her. Fight for her, please. Fight for her. Stand up right now and fight for this woman. Mato karaba shanda rabata rabate kete kara ashakara tata rabasha rabakata. You foul, wicked, demonic spirit, get off! Yes, dearest woman of God, help her up. I'm going to ask God's people to fight for her this week. I'm going to ask God's people to fast. Who's going to fast for her? All right, who's going to fight for her in the spirit and pray for her? Come on, I want everyone in this house to pray for her and to keep praying for her. It's going to happen. You're not out there by yourself, Mama Rebecca. Yes. In the name of Jesus, honey, you're being vindicated. And the heavenly courtrooms are judging your case. God, I give you praise in the name of Jesus. Come on and give God the glory. Say it with me, the heavenly courtrooms. Oh, shout the victory right now. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. Now watch this. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Now watch this. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? Somebody doesn't have something to eat? Somebody's starving? You can bind Satan off their heads all you want, but you got to give them a piece of bread. And the way they're going to get deliverance is when you execute it. Are you hearing me? Deliver somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, start a major deliverance ministry. Start helping somebody who's in bondage. Delivering the poor that have no helper. Delivering the weak and the infirmed. Oh, glory to God, by doing something of ourselves. This is what Isaiah is teaching us. The Bible says, watch it, beloved saints. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry and to bring the poor that are cast out of your house? You would say, I didn't have any poor people cast out of my house. Oh, you don't understand the language of the prophet. He's speaking prophetically. Okay, the language, the prophet isn't speaking in literal terms. He's making it as if love your neighbor as yourself. So the poor, even though they weren't cast out of your house, it's like they were. Are you hearing this? It's as if they were in the sight of God, because we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, I've actually heard people say, to love your neighbor as yourself means I have to love myself so much that I can finally love my neighbor. Where'd they get that heresy? Turn to your neighbor and say, where'd we get that egotistical heresy? Okay? God wants me to just lavish time upon myself so I can love my neighbor. What? What are you talking about? That's not what that means. To love your neighbor as yourself is to see someone and imagine yourself in their condition. To love your neighbor as yourself means if I see a little child without shoes, I can bind Satan all I want off that child. But the only way that child's going to get delivered is for me to give him shoes.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Somebody is begging for food. You see somebody trying to get food? People will do anything when they're hungry. People will go to desperate measures when they don't have anything to eat. And you can bind Satan all you want off of that person, but the only way you're going to deliver them is give them something to eat. Are you hearing me? Somebody ought to praise the Lord and give God the glory. This is why the Word of God says, is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? Not your neighbor's bread, your bread. Is it not to bring the poor that are cast out of your house? And when you see the naked, to cover him, that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. The Lord is saying we have to love them so much that it's as if when you see a little guy, like some of those little ones we saw in that video, that it's as if it's your child. That's your child up there. That's not somebody's distant child. That's your child that's hungry. Your child that went barefoot through the wilderness of Africa to try to find something to eat and is terrorized by the guerrilla warfare in their village. That's what deliverance is all about. You want to cast out demons? Take on those spirits that are making those nations poverty stricken. Hello? I said, take on those demons that are making those nations poverty stricken. And those nations are going to become so prosperous. I said, so prosperous. Oh, hallelujah. We're believing God that the nation of Uganda is going to be so wealthy. The Lord gave a word to one of the high officials in Uganda that came to represent the president. And she's in charge of the gas lines and the oil wells, which haven't been producing. And the Holy Ghost gave them a word that Uganda is going to start supplying the world with oil. Hallelujah. And we didn't know there's going to be this shortage in the Middle Eastern countries. Hallelujah. But you see, God is going to do something, because when the anointing goes to these countries, the anointing breaks the yoke. Are you following me? Somebody ought to praise the Lord tonight and give God the glory. Watch this. Going down, beloved saints, to the verse 8. Then will your light break forth. Oh, the light of Hanukkah is about to break out on you. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health is going to spring forth speedily. Somebody sick? Here's a way to get healed. Help the poor. I said, somebody sick? I mean, really sick. You know, I'm just going to tell you. I've seen God do extend lives to the way they're supposed to be, because God promised us that the number of our years he's going to fulfill, and he is going to remove sickness from the midst of us. Hallelujah. And I believe one of the ways to activate that promise is to do what the word says. And so we see, then will your light break forth as the morning, and your health will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, your rear ward. Verse 9, you will call on the Lord and he will answer. You will cry and he will say, here am I. Have you had the heavens blocked up lately? Are you wondering why God's not answering? But if you just break the yokes of others, if you just give yourself in love to help another person, you will be heard immediately by God. Are you hearing this? Somebody says, I need an emergency. Start helping other people. Notice, if you draw your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity and your darkness as the noonday. That means this is a deliverance that God is promising. And notice another prophetic promise that God is giving. Hallelujah to those of us here tonight. If we look at the word of God in Isaiah chapter 60, let's just look for a moment. The Bible says, the sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord is going to be your everlasting light, and your God, your glory. Now watch this. The Lord, verse 20, last line, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Say this with me. God is bringing consolation in my desolation. The days of my mourning shall be ended. Tell somebody, say, get ready to rejoice. Hanukkah is coming. Get ready to rejoice. Your light has come. Get ready to rejoice. Your rhema word is about to be released from heaven. Somebody ought to praise God. I said, your rhema word is about to be released from heaven. Oh, glory. Praise you, Jesus. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We're looking at the third supernatural secret of Hanukkah. And this third, beloved, supernatural secret of Hanukkah is a very powerful one. This third supernatural secret is, oh, praise you, Jesus, that God promises salvation, not annihilation. You say, not annihilation? Yes, I'm talking to you about those of you that are walking through a Red Sea experience and think you're between the desert and the Red Sea. And you think there's no way out of this. Is there anybody here in a place that you're going and there's no way out of this? You're saying, Lord, if I turn around, Pharaoh's there to take me back to Egypt. And Lord, if I go forward, it's just the Red Sea. I don't have any choice. I feel like any way that I turn, that I'm going to be wiped out. I don't know if there's anybody here that you're in a situation that you say, Lord, is this it? The devil's telling you it's over. The devil's telling you to give it up. The devil's telling you annihilation. He's a liar. Because he knows you're on the brink of a breakthrough. He knows you're on the brink of a turnaround. Turn to your neighbor and say, not annihilation. The Lord's salvation. The Lord's deliverance. Say this with me. I'm about to get a Yeshua. Come on, I'm about to get a Yeshua, a deliverance, a salvation, a breakthrough, a turnaround. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. This is a Hanukkah word for someone. The enemy planned your annihilation, but God is going to bring you a supernatural Yeshua salvation. Hallelujah. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. And I want us to look at Exodus 14, looking at verse 18 through 20. Let's go to Exodus 14, verses 18 to 20. Oh, my goodness. The children of Israel are at the Red Sea. They're coming out of the desert. They thought they were going to cross. But they didn't know that Pharaoh was going to pursue them from behind. Somebody told Pharaoh, Israel's escaped. And his heart was hardened again to go after the children of Israel. The Bible tells us, notice, verse 18, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and his chariots and upon his horsemen. Verse 19, watch this. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel and removed and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. So the pillar has now moved from the front and gone to the back. Watch this in verse 21. The Bible says, watch this in verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, meaning the Egyptians. But watch this. But it gave light by night. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord is about to bring light to my night. Come on. He's about to bring light to my night. Oh, my goodness. The Bible says it was a cloud and darkness to them. Oh, my goodness. But it gave light by night to these so that one came not near the other all night. 600,000, not counting the men and the children, walking through the Red Sea in the middle of the night. God gave them each a pathway. You see, the light provided a path in the midst of peril. Say this with me. The light is going to provide a path for me in the midst of my peril. Somebody ought to praise the Lord right now. You're getting to the other side. Oh, glory to God. Say this with me. Not annihilation, only a salvation. For the sake of those that don't know. You see, in the Western world, we only think of salvation and not, we don't minimize it. We're not to minimize it. I'm not saying this to minimize it. When we salvation, that just means born again. That's it. But in Hebrew, it has multiple meanings. Okay, the word salvation is a word that means whatever you need, when you need it, it's there. It's called the Yeshua. So if you didn't have your mortgage, and all of a sudden overnight he brought it, he brought you the Yeshua. Okay, so if you needed your body healed, he brought you a Yeshua. Did you hear me? Anything you need is a Yeshua in Hebrew when it's a deliverance. So an instant deliverance. You need to be vindicated on the job. It's a Yeshua that you need. So say, Lord, I need the Yeshua.
Lord,
to be vindicated on the job. I need Yeshua for my body. I need the Lord to provide a Yeshua for my body. I need the Lord to provide a Yeshua for my family. I need the Lord to provide a Yeshua. See, they were at the Red Sea and they needed a Yeshua. Are you standing with me? Do you understand what the Bible is teaching? This is why Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Oh, my goodness. This is a promise that he's going to bring the Yeshua to you. He doesn't want you to fear. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The Lord does not want me to fear." Let me just explain this, dear ones, about not fearing, because some of us have allowed anxiety and fear to come in and make us afraid. You know, one of the greatest men of God in the last generation was a man of God that the Lord said to him on the night he was kidnapped, blindfolded, and arrested by the KGB. He was walking in the midst of the snow on a cold, it was the morning actually. He had just said goodbye to his precious wife and his son. He was going to perform a wedding. And the wife was running late with little son. They said, "We'll meet you at the wedding." He courageously stood up against the Russians who invaded Romania. When they demanded that all pastors accept the Communist Manifesto and recognize the Communist Party as the leader of the church. And every bishop, pastor of any denomination that didn't do that was going to come under tremendous scrutiny. And those that did would have their doors opened, and the Russian government would pay their salary. It was an open forum with Lenin's face in the back on the screen. And they were all in a congress, all the pastors of Romania. And there he sat with his precious wife, two that were Jews before they became Christians. One who was born in a very religious Orthodox home, and the other who was an orphan. Mama, she was born. Sabina, she was born in the Orthodox home. Papa, Richard, he was born an orphan. They became Christians. And they became very distinguished in Romania as a man and woman of God among their colleague pastors. And that day at the Communist Congress, where all the pastors were gathered together, every bishop and pastor and person that was preaching, an evangelist, got up to the pulpit and praised the Communist Party. And Sabina looked at her husband and said, "How long are you going to sit there?" And he walked up to the platform and he said, "How can you betray Christ? to all the pastors. And he said, how can you be Judas? To all of you betraying him to the Communist Party. After 5 minutes, they silenced his mic. And they couldn't arrest him there because they would have been understood and they would have been recognized in the eyes of the other pastors as persecutors. So they planned his kidnapping on the day he was walking to the wedding in the snow. They blindfolded him, threw him into the car, and put guns to his head. And as he was in the back seat, the Lord said, fear not. And he had just done a study on the word, fear not. In those days, they didn't have biblical computers. And the Lord said, as he discovered in his studies, that fear not is written in the word of God 366 times. And when he was in the back seat and he was blindfolded with those guns to his head as he was talking to the Lord, he said, Lord, why 366 times? And the Lord said, a fear not for every day on the calendar, and an extra one for leap year.
Hallelujah.
I said an extra one for leap year. Papa Rembrandt spent 14 years in solitary confinement, every day being tortured for Christ, every day. No human being could have been able to bear the type of torture that the Ceausescu government laid upon the Romanian pastors that didn't defect from the faith. Supernaturally, in God's timing, they told Sabina he's dead. Sabina never knew he was alive. And they also arrested Sabina years later. And she went to a work camp. But she was let back. And one day, when his tuberculosis was so strong in his solitary confinement, they said, we're going to take him to room 4. Room 4 was the death chamber where all the TB patients died. And someone who came to take care of him, who was the doctor, was an undercover Christian. And he said, Pastor Rembrandt? And he said, yes. And he said, I'm going to get you out of here. He got him better, and he helped him escape.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And he had the same clothes on from the day he was arrested for 14 years. He went to the door of his apartment and knocked on it. And Sabina answered the door. And she could not believe what she saw, that it was her husband, Richard Rembrandt. Why do I share that? Because that man was a very dear friend of this ministry. And in 1990, he used to preach for us all the time. In the 80s, late 80s, him and Mama. Anita knew him well. Some of the ones, Mama Lupe, she knew him well. Those who were with the early days of ministry knew him well. And he, and one time, the last time we saw them, They came to preach. And they said, we want to stay at your house. We said, yes. We were so excited, Papa and I. And so we got everything ready. We didn't take them to a hotel. They wanted our house. Of course, we gave them our room. That was such a blessing. And Papa forgot his comb. His hair was thick and white. And he had to wear slippers his whole life. Because every day the communists would turn him upside down and beat his feet. But he would never deny Christ. I said he would never deny Christ. Why am I sharing that with you right now? I'm sharing that with you because the Lord told him to fear not. And the Lord is saying to you to fear not. See, sometimes we carry these fears, but at the Red Sea, there was a miracle. The children of Israel were not abandoned by God. You will never be abandoned by God. Do you understand what the Lord is saying? Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God the praise and give God the glory. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Say this with me. He's bringing me my Yeshua. He's bringing me my deliverance. He's bringing me my light. He's bringing me my breakthrough. He's bringing me my healing. He's bringing me my deliverance. Are you hearing this, saints? Somebody ought to give God the praise.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.